I was so blessed this morning because I got a call. It's Carmen said Horizon San Diego, but it's Horizon Claremont. Philip McIntosh called me this morning to pray over me. I was shocked. I was like, wow, man, that is awesome. And he said, I want to pray with you, because he knew that what everything, he came to visit me in the hospital too and everything. And it's been over 3 months, so we'll see how it goes. But I want to share this morning what I shared with the men on Wednesday. I had something else that I was going to share about Isaiah when he talked about when you walk through the waters, you won't drown. When you go through the fire, you will not get burned. And our lives are a testimony of that. But God, it just didn't come together. And God kept sending me to Psalms 27, which I share because it has a lot to do with my life and has to do with fear. And about David. And the Bible teaches us there's two types of fear. Obviously, there's the fear of the flesh and the fear of the world. And there's the fear of the Lord. And the fear of the Lord is the real fear, the fear of the flesh. That's from the enemy. But it's something that we go through. We all fear. And so Psalms 27, David, I believe David, you know, he experienced both. So if you can turn to Psalms 27, I want to share that because fear was something that I was battling when I was in the hospital, even before I was in the hospital, of not knowing what was going on and what was taking place. I mean, think about it. If you all of a sudden woke up and you're tied down in the bed and got things coming out of your mouth, and you would fear, wondering, and you don't know where you're at, and you don't see any family, you see strangers, you can think of the worst things that, you know, came to my mind of what was happening. But here, look at verse 12. We're going to read verse 27, and then I'm going to go ahead. And obviously, now I have to really write things down. And now you notice I got a computer because I can't remember. I'm not going to be able to remember. I got to write it down. So look at 27. It says that David says that the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumble and fell. Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war may rise against me, in this I will be confident. One thing I have desired of the Lord, that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, and to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret place of his tabernacle, he shall hide me, and he shall set me on high. He shall set me high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted above my enemies and all around me. Therefore, I will offer sacrifices of joy in his tabernacle. And I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. Oh, hear, Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy upon me and answer me. When you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, Lord, I will seek. And do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my help, and do not leave me nor forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take care of me. And teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in the smooth path because of my enemies. And do not deliver me to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and such as breath out violence. I would have lost heart unless I have had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Isn't that awesome? Well, this is what the Lord was showing me, this, what I was going to share with you guys. Because, again, you know, I can kind of relate to David right here when it comes to things that he was up against. And, you know, and I was thinking that in our emotions that we experience throughout our lives, I think fear is one of the most powerful of them all, is fear. And allowing the wrong type of fear is—it's like like David says, how his enemies rise up against him, and that wrong type of fear wants to rise up against us, throughout our lives. And I think of my grandkids, and I even think of my kids. And some of you guys probably thought of this, and you thought this type of fear in your life and your kids now. But as kids, I think of when they were small, how that fear would attack their little minds, you know. And one of the most popular ones is always, and maybe you experience this with your children, or you experience it, is that monster in the closet or under the bed, right? Remember that? I mean, that's one of the most common fears of all of kids, is there's a monster. And my kids, I remember Stevie said that one time when he was real young. And it might be silly to us, but to them, they are real, you know. And no wonder, look what's going on in this world, and their vivid imaginations and their dreams and the movies they watch. In fact, there's a movie put out by Disney. It's called Monster, Inc., and the whole purpose is there's a monster under the bed or a monster in the closet. And it shows, and their purpose is to scare the kids and scare them so that they can make electricity. Maybe we should try that, huh? Make some electricity, then we have to pay so much in the gas bill, you know, electric bill. And then they collect their fears inside a tube, and they plug it in, and it brings electricity. Now, when they become mature, like us guys, when we become mature, we have fears that are also real to us as well. And those made-up monsters now, that we used to see as children, they're replaced by the evil and the horrors that are actually existing in the world that is cursed today. Today, we see a lot of fear going on within the church itself. And I want to read you a statistic of fears, and we're going to look at this. Even though David feared, the blessing of this Psalms 27 is that he feared the Lord more. The fear of the Lord. And I want to encourage you guys, when you see things happening in this world, look for God's presence in the midst of it. I always do that. When I hear about something happening, if you look, you're going to see the fear of the Lord. You're going to see God's presence. Remember I told you the story about when we went to go eat at that restaurant, and during Pride Month, we're sitting there and watching, me and my wife are watching, I'm watching the baseball game, and there is four men watching the baseball game at the bar, and a woman and these two guys, they started kissing, and right away I started getting defensive and mad, and I turned around, and when I turned around, this couple behind me, the guy had a Christian t-shirt on, and he had a scripture saying that everything that exists is of the Lord, I think, if I can remember, that's what it said. And God was reminding, hey, I'm still on the throne. The gospel is still being preached and people are getting saved. And I went over there and I said, hey, I just want to thank you for being a testimony. And while they were eating, I said, I want to thank you for your t-shirt. That's an awesome scripture. And they say, praise God. And then his wife said, the person he was with said, could I pray for you? Wow. What do you need prayer for? And I told him my story. And so, can we pray right now? So we got up in the middle of this restaurant, in the middle of everybody, and started laying hands on one another, praying. It was amazing because I saw the fear of the Lord was greater than the fear of the world. And it was amazing because we started praying for you. They prayed for me. I prayed for them. And people are watching right there next to the table. There's a family right there. And it was awesome. And then come to find out that they go to All People's Church, which is a church that my daughter went to before she moved. So, and in fact, they know the Hernandezes. We told them about the Hernandezes. They said, yeah, we know them. They told us they're in Africa, which they're back now. But it was amazing. And so this statistic, they're talking about how fear, what brings fear upon people, adults and men, is that violent criminals that are going on, the murders and the thieves and the rapists and the gang members and the terrorists, religious and political fanatics, and those who are demonically influenced and those who are mentally deranged. All the natural disasters, the storms, tornadoes, earthquakes. Earthquake is my kryptonite, by the way. Earthquakes, spiders, and mayonnaise. The fires, the diseases, cancer, heart attacks, Alzheimer's disease, HIV, even dementia. Now, dementia, my mother-in-law has dementia, and she forgets a lot. But one thing she doesn't forget, and that's her relationship with God. That she don't forget. She's always looking at a picture of Jesus and pray. I pray with her every night, and so that will not leave her, because that's, she's actually being prepared to be received by the Lord. And so the things of this world is fading, but the things of God are coming out stronger. And because I believe, you know, look, God's preparing her. She's 95 years old. There's wars. There's a lot of unemployment, financial devastation, accident, old age. I mean, look, old age is something that we fear. Yeah, look, I used to say when I was younger, I can't wait to get old. And then now that I'm old, I want to be young again, you know. Unable to provide for and care for yourself and for your families. And that was one of my fears when this all happened is, man, I don't want to be cared for. I was so humbled in the hospital because they had to take care of my physical needs and bathing and everything. And it's an awful thing to have to go through, even the death of a loved one. But in the midst of all this, like David, we have the responsibility. Look at verse 1. Our responsibility, he says, is that the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life, and whom shall I be afraid? And this fear, the word fear here in verse 1, it means to be afraid, to make afraid, to revere, or to be feared, to be dreadful, or reverence that would end, and to be terrified. So the word, it describes a very awful type of fear. But again, the Bible, David, he also, and I believe he shares about the fear of the Lord, which is much greater than the fear of the world. So this word fear, it's one of emotions, and it's an intellectual fear of being harmed or the feeling of something that may go wrong with you. And then there's that positive fear of feeling awe and the reverence of God, which is expressed by our worship of God, you know. And I believe David is here is expressing both fears, because like David, fear is something that we definitely feel. But we must realize that it's more than just an emotion. The wrong fear is a spiritual enemy of God's people. Having that wrong fear, it can kill you spiritually and physically. Because I know, I'm a testimony that when I was in the hospital, I feared. Fear, my fear killed me, literally. I died because of my fear. I woke up being tied down to a bed, and my ankles were tied down, seeing strange people, being so sedated that everything was like this, and hallucinations, that the fear in me was I didn't know where I was, what's going on, that I died. I cold blew, and they had to do CPR on me for 3.5 minutes. So that wrong fear can physically kill you. And it wasn't until I saw my wife and my daughter, my son, that the fear of the Lord took over. And God was in the midst of that fear, that awful wrong fear, because Carmen was singing a song. What's the name of that song?
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name, she was singing that over me when I was there lying unconscious in a coma, induced coma. Out of it, and she was singing. So God, look around. When you see something going on in this world that might bring fear or is happening, look for God's presence. Look for an opportunity for God to be exalted. Because you're going to see the fear of the Lord is going to overcome the fear of the world. It happens all. And the Word of God tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, it says, for God's not given us a spirit of fear, but the power and of love and of a sound mind. So having the wrong fear and being motivated by it, it's often a fruit of that sinful nature that we have, because it causes us to believe the worst and not to trust in the Lord. And Paul also said in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, he said, though I walk in the flesh, I don't war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty in God, pulling down the strongholds. You believe that? Stronghold. Whatever stronghold you are going through, the Word of God, your weapons of your warfare are what? Prayer, fellowship, the Word of God, the things of God are able to bring them down. They're able to pull them down, those strongholds. Anything that will try to exalt itself above the knowledge of God, you got the power and authority from God to pull them down and to take those thoughts into captivity, and every argument, every high thing that exalts itself above the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. And then we got Ephesians chapter 6. You guys know it well. It's the armor of God, where Paul said, finally, my brother, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil days, and having done all to stand. Well, let me ask you this. Have you done all you can do to stand? You can always do more. When you think you have done all you can, guess what? God says, hey, I'm going to take you further. Yeah, he always does. Yeah. Jesus said, if they ask you to go 1 mile, he says, I'm asking you to go 2. So check your life, seeing if you're doing all you can to stand. Because the wrong fear, that's a direct blow from Satan or from by one of his demonic principalities. And if we don't have that knowledge of verse 1, look at verse 1. If we don't have that knowledge and that wisdom of that the Lord is our light and my salvation, whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life, whom shall I be afraid? You know what? We can be held captive by the spirit of fear. You know, what are the feelings that you could be held captive to? Well, we worry a lot, right? Worry is one of them. We have a lack of peace sometimes. We're defeated sometimes, being fruitless in the serving of our Lord. But David, he encountered the spirit of fear, and that led him to write Psalms 27 and Psalms 26. And he writes, what was it that provoked him to fear? Well, look at verse 2. This is what he feared in his life. He says, when the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and my foes. He had this fear of the wicked, but the fear of the Lord was greater, because he said they're going to stumble and fall. Amen. He knew it. Hey, the enemy's going to come. They're going to try to eat up my flesh. And back then, you know, when you fought, it wasn't a fair fight. It was a fight to the death. And if they didn't kill you, they take you captive. They did some pretty evil things to you. And David, he feared the enemy that came to eat up his flesh. But the fear of the Lord was greater, because he said they're going to stumble and fall. Look at verse 3. He said, though an army may encamp against me. Again, that the fear of the enemy coming against him to what? To destroy him. And yet the fear of the Lord was greater, because he says, my heart shall not fear. Because he had the fear. What's the fear of the Lord? The beginning of wisdom and knowledge of who God is. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. The fear of the Lord is clean. The fear of the Lord is pure. And he said, my heart shall not fear. Though the war may rise against me in this, I will be confident. Amen. What are you putting your confidence in? In God, in the Lord, in the Word of God, in your relationship, in doing all you can do to stand. Are you doing all you can do? Everybody knows. You know your relationship with the Lord. And I'm telling you, if you think you're doing all you can do more. And David, he had more confidence in his fear of the Lord. Look at, we're going to skip, we're going to jump ahead. Look at verse 9. Look at the fear of the flesh here. He says, do not hide your face from me. I mean, I would be fearful if I felt God was hiding, because I did. I was saying, God, what are you doing to me? What's going on here? It was awful. It was the worst thing I ever been through in that hospital. Everything that was happening, one thing after another, you know how many, if they would have let me drive and I would have got pulled over by the police and so many IVs and shots, they would have thought I was a drug addict. My arms were literally just holes everywhere. And every time they came in, I got to draw blood. I was like, Lord, what are you doing? The fear of thinking that, God, are you turning your back on me? And then church, and then the fear of church here. What's going to happen now? He says, hey, do not hide your face from me in verse 9. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my help, and do not leave me nor forsake me, O God of my salvation. You know, he had the fear of that, but he said, you know what? God, you're the God of my salvation. God is the God of our salvation. He's the one that gives us salvation. Everything, I like what John Corson said. He says, you want to know the solution to fear, okay? There's 10 things. He says, I'm going to give you 10 things. I'm going to give them to you. Write it down. The first is your relationship with the Lord. Read the Word of God. Okay? Secondly, do it 10 more times. In other words, keep doing it. Okay? He's the God of your salvation. Look at verse 10. Because we have to jump through here because we got communion. In verse 10, he says, he had the fear of his family forsaking him. You know, David. You know, when David wrote Psalms 27, it could have been when King Saul was filled with jealousy and rage, and when he was being pursued by him, or maybe his own son Absalom was revolting against his own dad. He wanted his crown. Can you imagine your own son doing that? I mean, it does happen. He says in verse 10, when my father and mother forsake me, then the Lord will take care of me. The fear, this is where the fear, his fear of the Lord was greater, because he said, the Lord is going to take care of me. Doesn't the Lord take care when others fail? You know what, guys? We will fail. Man will fail. I will fail. But we're not here to look at the pastor. We're here to look at the master. Okay? Keep your eyes on the master, not the pastor. Whew. Yeah. He's the ultimate teacher. Look at verse 12. David goes on and says, do not deliver me to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and such as breathe out violence. And I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I love verse 13. Now, David had the fear of his adversary spreading cruel lies about him, and that he would be subject to their will. But David feared the Lord, and he said it was greater because he believed in the goodness of God in the midst of the living. The goodness of God was greater, and he saw God moving in his life right before his very eyes. Now, have you seen that? Have you seen the Lord moving right before your very eyes? Yes. Can you honestly say that you see God moving before your very eyes? That is what sparks the fear of the Lord in your life. Don't forget what God has done for you in the past. And that, in fact, Peter said that the trials are more precious to God, though we're tried by fire, we're going to be presented as gold. And now I'm paraphrasing that because I can't remember exactly how the verse went anymore. But remember what he's done in the past. And if he's done that for you many times in the past, you think he's going to stop doing it for you in the future? David said, hey, I have seen the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. He's seen them. In fact, they actually literally saw God moving. We see God moving, but now we have him inside of us. They didn't have God like we have him. They didn't have that liberty like we have him. The grace and the Spirit of God moving in us, using us. Don't forget what God has done for you. And you got to remember, David, you know, he was a man of war. So Psalms could apply to many situations that were very scary in his life. Now, I want to jump backwards to verse 2. Look at verse 2. When he said that the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, and my enemies and my foes, they stumbled and they fell. Though an army may encamp against me, my heart should not fear. Though war may rise against me, in this I will be confident. One thing I desire of the Lord, that's what I'm going to seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, and to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. You know, you got to remember when David here in verse one, David, he didn't begin this Psalms starting off with his fears, but by declaring his faith in the Lord and not in himself. He didn't say, "Oh, I fear my enemy. I fear." He said, "No." He said that, you know, the Lord is his strength. Because, and you want to know why? Because he had a personal relationship with the Lord. And he was able to testify that the Lord was, look at verse 1. The Lord was his light. The Lord was his salvation. The Lord was his strength. And whom shall I fear? Whom shall I be afraid? The word light there, when David said the Lord is my light, David didn't say he was the light, guys. He said he was the brightness, and he was brightened by a greater light, and that was the Lord himself. David was only a reflection of the light of the Lord in his life. It was like a shadow. You know when remember you do the shadows of a dog? When you're out there and the sun hits you, you throw down a shadow. Well, that was David was saying, the Lord's the light. I'm just a reflection of God. That shadow should be a reflection of God, who God is in your life. You're reflecting the Lord. Paul said that in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, I believe it is, where he says that we are his workmanship. We are created in Christ Jesus unto good works. You are his poem. Poema is where we get the word poem. Workmanship, that's what it means in the Greek, poema, where we get the English word poem. So you're a poem of God. So what are you reading? What is your reflection of God? When David said God is the light, and he's only a reflection of the light of the Lord that was in his life. He said, God is my salvation. That word salvation means deliverance. It means liberty. It means rescue. David, he wasn't referring to being delivered being delivered from his enemies. He said that the Lord made, he remembered that the Lord made a covenant with him, and that's why he wasn't afraid. He knew that the Lord would be faithful to his covenant. He knew that the Lord would save him from his enemies because of his promise and his purpose. You know what? God, when God tells you something, he's going to follow through. Amen. He's going to complete it. Titus 1:2, it tells us, in the hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before the time began. Now, God says he can't lie, but we know that, and you guys know this, the scripture tells us, but you know it personally in your life, that all things are possible. Amen. With man, everything's impossible. With God, all things are possible. You believe that? Well, there are three things that are impossible with God. Did you know that? And that is that God cannot lie. God cannot die. And God cannot fail. Those three things are the things that God cannot do. Everything else is possible with God. You know, David was able to testify that God was his strength. The word strength there, when David declared that the Lord was his strength. He wasn't talking about his source of his might and his valor as a man of war. The word strength there refers to a place of shelter, a place of safety, a place of protection. It could be translated as a fortress, a stronghold, or a refuge. So David was convinced that God protected him from his enemies as long as he trusted in the Lord. He was safe within the walls of God's mighty care. Is God your strength? We're talking about God's strength. You know, his feet rest on the earth. I mean, how big is your God? That's a pretty big God when his feet rest on the earth. Man, try to feel those shoes. David said that he was confident in the fear of the Lord because the Lord was his confidence in verse 2 and 3. You can look at it. How the Lord protected David in the past, that's what inspired and encouraged David to be fearless in the present trouble. Because what God did for him in the past, he knew that God would do for him in the present. God had given David victory over those who were larger than him, like Goliath. Okay, think about this, guys. This is all I want you to think about. He was a youth kid when he went up against Goliath. Okay, Goliath was considered over 9 feet tall. Okay, 10'4". You know? How would you like to go up against a guy who's 9'9"? And we're talking pretty big, okay? So the Lord was his confidence when he went up against Goliath, and the Lord was his confidence when he was up against those who were more powerful than him, like King Saul. But even before that, before Goliath, before King Saul, before he faced his giants, David had already killed the lion and the bear at a young age. Remember that? When he told Saul, hey, when the lion and the bear come against and try to kill my sheep, he took out his slingshot and killed them at a young age. So David was able to face his giants because he remembered what God did for him in the past. Face your giants. Remember what God did for you in the past. He got you through these other giants. So by having the right fear, David was able to have the right desire. And that desire was in the Lord. One thing I desire, that I will seek after. You want to overcome your fears? Then have the right desires. Look at verse 4. I want you to look at verse 4. I want you to read it right now. Read it to yourself right now. Verse 4. See that? You want to have the right desires, then in verse 4, seek the Lord. Dwell in the house of the Lord. You know what that means? When David said, I want to dwell in the house of the Lord all my life, that means having fellowship with God and his people. And we're talking about all the days of your life. You got to be consistent all the days of your life and look into the beauty of the Lord and praying in this temple. Well, guess what? I got some great news for you guys. Now you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. So you know what that means about prayer? That means that now, that because you are the temple of the Holy Spirit, you should be praying without ceasing. They would go into the temple to pray. But we are the temple of the Holy Spirit, so we could be praying without ceasing all day, all night long. When you walk down the street, you're talking to God. It doesn't mean you have to fall on your knees. If you want to, that's fine. But it means praying underneath your breath and praying with people, asking people to pray for, you know, you want to pray for them, praying without ceasing. Look at that verse 4. I mean, these were the highest priorities in David's life, to dwell in God's presence daily. Now think about, what is the highest priorities in your life? You know, here in Psalms 27, David was very clear about what mattered the most to him. About above everything else, he desired the Lord's presence in his life. And at that time, remember in Israel's history, God's house, there was the inner sanctuary of the tabernacle, the Holy of Holies. And that was a place, the presence where God actually manifested. His presence was there. And that is where David longed to be, but he couldn't be in there. He couldn't go into the Holy of Holies. Only the priest was able to go in there. David, but he said, I desire to be in the presence of the Lord. Just like the priest, who was the only ones that were permitted to enter into the sanctuary. Well, that's how David felt, that, and that's how we should feel, to live in the very presence of the Lord throughout our entire life. And David said that he wanted to, that behold the beauty of the Lord. You guys know what the beauty of the Lord is? You know what the scripture says, what the beauty of the Lord is? His holiness. Exactly. 1 Chronicles 16:29, David said, give to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring the offering and come before him. Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of his holiness. Jehoshaphat said in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 21, when he was up against all these nations, these four big nations and many other smaller groups, he said when he consulted with the people, he appointed those who would sing to the Lord and those who should praise the beauty of his holiness. And they went out before the army and were saying, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. Are you saying that in your life today? Are people seeing that without you saying it? Praise the Lord, his mercy endures forever. He said in Psalms 96:9. He said, worship the Lord in the beauty of his holiness. You know, the word to behold the beauty of the Lord was meant, it's meant for us as well. It means to gaze at mentally, to perceive, to contemplate with pleasure, specifically to have a vision of the Lord and to behold our Lord is to behold him here on earth as well as in heaven. We don't have to wait to get to heaven before we can see the beauty of the Lord. Now we can see, we can behold the beauty of his holiness. You know, verse 5, he goes on and he says, for the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion, in the secret place of his tabernacle. He shall hide me, and he shall set me high upon the rock. So again, David understood that by living for in God's presence, he will receive God's protection. We will receive it. Believe it or not, you know, people turn to God only in times of trouble. Many people will only come to him in times of trouble. But not David. He wasn't someone who just would seek the Lord only when he needed something from him. He understood that his relationship with God was the most important thing that he can pursue and ask for. Is your relationship the most important thing in your life? Is that the number one thing in your life? What is it? What's the number one thing in your life? It should be your relationship with the Lord. And if he's dwelling, if David says if he's dwelling with the Lord, he knew that he would be living in the safety and the shelter of the Lord, especially when trouble comes. In the secret place of the tabernacle. Again, that was the Holy of Holies. That's where the mercy seat was located and the actual place where God met his people. So by living in God's presence, David, you know, he said, I'm going to be set upon a rock, and that's a place that can't be penetrated. That's a place that's high above his enemies who can reach him. Think about, if you haven't read, read 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, 1 Kings, 2 Kings. And look what God did. God put him right in the midst of his enemies in dead center, and he just walked right in and out. That's God. In Psalms 18, David said, the Lord is my rock and my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom will I trust? My shield, the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised, and so shall I be saved from my enemies. Look at verse 6. He says, now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. Therefore I will offer sacrifices of joy in the tabernacle, and I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, have mercy also upon me, and answer me. When you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, Lord, I will see. So David, you know, he prayed because he desired a face-to-face fellowship with the Lord. He loved it to be in the Lord's presence. Therefore, he obeyed God's commandments, and when he said to seek him. Guys, we can have a face-to-face relationship with God because of what Jesus did for us. Because of what he did for us. He said in verse 9, "Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my help. Do not leave me nor forsake me, O my God and my salvation." Well, guess what? Guess what Hebrews tells us about being forsaken. God said, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." We don't have to worry about that now. God will never leave us nor forsake us. And if you're wondering where God's at, maybe it's because he's not where you're at. If you're turning to other gods, or you're out of fellowship, or you're and if you're not seeing them face to face, maybe that's why God ain't, you're not seeing them, because you're not having that face to face relationship with the Lord. This is part of having that relationship with God. See, come together and worshiping God and hearing the word of, here, you guys hearing this word of God? Man, that's like having a face-to-face relationship with the Lord every day in your word of God. And when my first 10, when my father and mother forsake me again, the Lord will take care of me. And then he goes on in verse 11, we're going to end it. He said, "Teach me your ways, O Lord, and lead me in the smooth path because of my enemies. And do not deliver me from the will of my adversaries. For false witnesses have risen against me, and such as the breath out of violence. And I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living." Amen. "Wait on the Lord and be of good courage, so he shall strengthen your heart." Wait, I say, wait on the Lord. So David ends this encouraging psalm with a word of encouragement. He says, wait on the Lord. You know what? To wait on the Lord, it involves patience, guys. Okay, it involves patience. That is holding on and enduring until God chooses to act on your behalf. Not you telling God what to do. When you pray to the Lord, don't give him directional prayers. You give him direct prayers. It means also waiting on the Lord. It includes expectation. That means you have to anticipate that God's going to do everything that he promised for you. That's what the word hope usually means in the Bible, that God is going to do everything that he promised. So wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, wait on the Lord. Let's pray.